Good evening and welcome to HealthBeat on WDIY. HealthBeat is a program generously supported and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I am your co-host, Margaret McConnell. I am the new executive director here at WDIY, and I'm joined by Samantha Schack, who is the acting executive director of the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. So we've got two new co-hosts here today on HealthBeat. Welcome, Samantha.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So as I mentioned, I'm new and I'm taking over the hosting or co-hosting duties here for Greg Capagna, who was our former executive director. And Samantha, you're also filling some new shoes, right?
I am indeed. Ed Meehan recently retired after over 40 years of service to Lehigh Valley and after 2 years on HealthBeat. And so I have big shoes to fill, but I'm happy to be here and to be doing this with you.
Great. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background. You know, what brought you here? How did your career bring you to working in health improvement?
So I don't come by this work through a medical background, actually, but I have really found a home in the healthcare community here in the Lehigh Valley. So my background's in psychology and a field called human development and family studies, and it really looks at factors that influence people over time and make them who they are. And that might be influences in who you are as a person, your interactions with your neighborhood or your environment, your family, or influences from the broader society. And I became interested in how those factors interact with one another and then impact someone's success over time. As I found a home in the Lehigh Valley, I found a spot at Lehigh Valley Health Network and was looking at those same factors, but from a different perspective, from the healthcare perspective. And healthcare was calling those social determinants of health and thinking about how factors in our neighborhoods and in our communities can impact health over time. And those are the same things that impact our ability to parent, our ability to succeed in a job, to have a family life that is stable and nourishing. And so whether it's from a healthcare perspective or community perspective, those same things are driving our successes over time and thinking about how do we create systems and environments that can support that or create barriers to success.
Okay. So that's wonderful and all very important work and a lot of things that we don't normally think about as being a part of a healthy individual. So I imagine that you're doing this work because it's personal to you in some way, and you have to love it to do this work. Why is it so personal to you?
Yeah, so I'm a product of my environment, as everyone is. I'm the oldest of three girls and the first to go to college in my family. Both of my parents grew up in poverty and figured out how to create a life for themselves and for their children. And so I was really interested in how does that happen for people? What is the path that they take? And then at the same time, why does it happen for some people and not for others? What are the things that get in the way of success and our ability to create a thriving life for our families and for our children? And so I really am passionate about figuring out that puzzle, about the multifaceted nature of what creates opportunity and what creates challenges in front of us and how we make the most of that over time.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I also grew up with a really large family. I'm one of seven siblings, and we didn't grow up with a lot of money either. And, you know, the opportunities I had were unique, you know, to our situation and our family, but we all had to put in a lot of hard work to get through college, and I worked my way through school. So I totally understand that vantage point, and that vantage point and experience has what made me want to give back to the community and to help others in the community, because I recognize that not everyone has the opportunities that I had to really lift myself up.
Absolutely. And who you are as a person, right, interacts with where you fall in the lineup of your siblings, and that interacts with your family overall, and then the neighborhood that you grew up in. And so there's such a connection across all these pieces. And then that then just provides opportunities around education and your housing and your job opportunities. And so every person's unique in that way because those things interact individually for them. But it absolutely is, you know, do you see the opportunities in front of you? Are you able to take advantage of them? And also are there challenges put in your way that prevent you from being able to really take steps forward to realizing the opportunities that might be there?
Right, right. So this show has historically focused on vital conditions in a neighborhood and all the components needed to create a thriving environment for all. Could you refresh us on the role of the Leonard Parker Pool Institute for Health and how the organization addresses such challenges?
Sure, absolutely. So a little bit about vital conditions first. Through our work with our colleagues at the Ripple Foundation and their work with other groups like the Institute for People, Place, and Possibility, they created something called the Vital Conditions Framework. And vital conditions are those factors that really drive our ability to thrive over time. They create choices as well as potential disparities or inequities. They're things like clean air and fair and equitable housing and early education and routine healthcare. And these are things that everyone needs to succeed, right? We need to ensure that as many people as possible have that in order for that opportunity to be there. And this framework is really useful in conceptualizing holistic well-being, thinking about all the things that influence us and the things that give rise to, as well as help us identify levers for community change and improvement. And so they have connected that to urgent services as well. Oftentimes when we think about the need for if someone is on the brink of being homeless or does not have food for their family for that week, these are immediate urgent services that are needed, but the vital conditions framework really creates an opportunity to say, how do we think about that holistically and not only think about the urgent services that we need to address the need today, but balance that with the things that can create more opportunity over time and making sure that we're investing in both of those equally. We know that there are needs and there are services that need to be provided on a daily basis right now. But if we only focus on that piece, we'll never get to the point where we'll decrease the demand on those services. And so the Leonard Parker Pool Institute for Health is working closely with many sectors in our community to build a foundation of health for all residents to thrive using that vital conditions framework. So we bring together institutions and people, particularly from communities who have not historically had a voice in solutions, to identify changes to systems that support the foundation of health. And part of this is that we translate national and local best practices to drive sustainable collective actions that foster health.
That's great. I think the framework is such a great picture of why urgent services exist, because there is a lack of all of these other basic needs, really, exactly. You know, access to food, access to housing, affordable housing. So I think it's a great way of visualizing it.
Indeed. If someone does not have the basics that they need to be able to live their life, it puts us on a trajectory of additional barriers or challenges that you can face along the way. And so by investing in those basics and those vital conditions within communities, we are able to help set people on a more positive trajectory and give them the resources, skills, and assets that they need to be able to navigate the daily trials and tribulations of life.
And isn't the centerpiece of that framework the civic muscle or the belonging? And I think that's really powerful, that we all want a sense of belonging.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, we all want to feel connected to one another. Belonging and civic muscle really looks at how are we engaging in our community? Are we supporting one another and making sure that we provide the emotional and psychological support for each other? And we can do this by having a network of people that we talk to on a regular basis, by asking our neighbor if they need anything, by voting, by serving on city council or the school board or the PTA. And so there's lots of ways that we can do that, but that social fabric that connects us all is really important. And I think if one thing the last couple of years going through the pandemic and now coming out on the other side of that has taught us is that that is so essential. And that if we don't pay attention to that and invest in that in the same way that we address housing and education and food access, that we're not going to be able to have a society that works together as we go forward.
Right. So you were talking a little bit about how the Institute is addressing these things. And I understand that there are really two focus areas. There's neighborhood development and capacity building. Can you talk a little bit about those areas?
Sure. So the Pool Institute for Health started in 2021, and wanted to look at how are we addressing these vital conditions in the neighborhoods that we serve within Lehigh Valley Health Network. And we believe that a place-based approach is really the path forward, as we've learned from other places nationally across the country. And so we started by partnering with one neighborhood, which is Franklin Park in Allentown, to see if we could figure out how to look at housing and education and food access and belonging and civic muscle within one geographic space. And if we can narrow down on a smaller geographic footprint, then it makes it a little bit easier to think about how we might influence these really complicated issues over time. But we know that also takes a long perspective. And so this isn't going to happen overnight. This is a 10, 15, 20 year endeavor that we started. And so that is our deep place-based work that we work on within the Institute for Health. And we started by looking at housing, by looking at education and creating a cradle to career pipeline, and by that neighborhood engagement and helping to get to know neighbors and connecting people to one another. That is balanced with broader capacity building efforts. And so the other thing that we are working on is how do we share that message and this framework more broadly? And we do that through things like our pool speaker series. We bring national guests to town to present to our colleagues across the valley about the things that they have learned or seen in other places. We are partnering with groups like FCS Ministries in Atlanta, Strive Together in Cincinnati, and the Build Health Challenge to think about how do we apply best practices and national models here locally in the Lehigh Valley and Allentown. And we also started something called the Pool Fellowship for Health that we've talked about quite a bit on the show about 9 years ago. And so we have been cultivating a group of leaders who can think about these really complex social issues in a slightly different way now and think about collaboration and collective action towards creating thriving communities. And you'll see that there are many fellows in all of the work that's happening within Franklin Park as well.
You know, it's interesting that Franklin Park is the neighborhood you started with. I actually lived in that neighborhood from my senior year in high school on through part of my way through college. And I really remember the neighbors and everybody really coming together, you know, snowstorms. I think one of the biggest snowstorms we ever had in Lehigh Valley was when I lived there, and no trucks were coming down that little, those little narrow streets. And we really all had to work together and dig each other out. So what is the importance of place in all of this work?
I think you just identified it, right? It's about knowing those around us and what are the resources that are within walking distance or short driving distance of where we are. Where do we go and get food every day? Where do we seek healthcare? How do we ask our neighbors what they need and support one another? And that is where we spend most of our life, is where we live and the neighborhood that we are growing up in. And so we view our opportunities or our sense of connection to people through our experience in our neighborhood. And so that really can have a great impact on health over time. Sometimes it's for a short stay, as you said, or sometimes we spend years and years in one location. But either way, you are either welcomed into a neighborhood and feel like you are connected with those around you, or you may feel a lack of connection to that neighborhood, and then therefore are more willing to seek out a different neighborhood or to look somewhere else to move to. And I think part of what we're trying to do is bring back that sense of connection to one another, to help neighbors have a reason to know one another and to just look to their left and to their right and ask how people are doing.
That sense of community in a neighborhood is so important. Now I'm remembering the neighborhood on the south side of Allentown that I grew up in prior to living in Franklin Park, and there were just so many kids my age, and everyone looked out and watched each other's kids. I loved that neighborhood. And where I live now, we have a kind of different dynamic, but I have neighbors that shovel me out and or mow my grass when I need help. I've made soup for my neighbor who was ailing. It's just caring for each other and looking out for others that helps build a community. Isn't that right?
I mean, part of it is that we can find community in lots of different places today, right? It doesn't only have to be in the physical place that you're living, but it may be in an online community or a community around a church or a community around a shared interest. And so part of it that it has become more complicated over time, that we have more pathways or options for connecting with one another. But I think that the connection back to neighborhood is something that people are becoming more aware of and thinking more intentionally about now. You are right. It's easy to just put your head down and not necessarily talk to those around you and connect with one to those that you might see every day. But in areas where individuals are living closer together, are in need of one another more often, are part of their tribe, if you will, sometimes that does foster that in different ways than if we are more spread out or spaced out, or if our social circles take us outside of our physical neighborhood.
So you can take the work that's been done in the specific neighborhood and share that broadly, sort of as lessons learned?
Exactly. So 3 years in, we're having some early lessons, and we will continue to advance that work and learn along the way. And then we'll be able to take those and replicate the models and the initiatives that we've started here in other neighborhoods. It shouldn't stay in just one neighborhood. We want to be able to create that across many neighborhoods across the valley over time.
Right. Is there any specific example you can share that was a success that you would look to see replicated?
Sure. 2 years in, we have been hosting, our colleagues at the Cohesion Network have been hosting a neighborhood meeting every month, really inviting neighbors to come out and to join the conversation, to get to know one another, and to share what their experience has been in the neighborhood and what they would like to see in their own neighborhood. So I think that is a really big win in terms of creating that civic infrastructure that we'll need over time, as well as we have a housing group that has worked on putting together some initial priorities of how we would like to stabilize the housing within Franklin Park and make it so that more people can stay and afford to stay in Franklin Park. And that group is working on eviction prevention and landlord engagement and helping tenants to know their rights, as well as looking at some community ownership models that we might be able to bring to the Valley. And another win that we've had is our education or cradle to career pipeline initiative, which is called Families First in Franklin Park. And we are partnering with the Health Bureau and Valley Health Partners and Community Services for Children, among many others, to think about how are we all supporting families with young children in this neighborhood to access the services and supports that they need, the childcare supports that they need in order to set them on the right trajectory and ensure that they have the resources they need to be successful. And we hope to grow that over time to also include supports through school-age children and to high school or to college or career.
That's wonderful. Why did you choose or start with the Franklin Park neighborhood?
It's a great question. Franklin Park is not unique or better than any other neighborhood in Allentown. They experience many of the same disadvantages or inequities that we see across the city and across many other similar sized cities in the U.S. But there were two pieces that really, I think, helped us to land on that. One is that it's that area, so between 17th Street in Allentown and the redeveloped area at 7th and Hamilton, is a largely residential area. So 10,000 people live there. So it was big enough that we could think about some pretty broad interventions, but small enough that we could wrap our heads around it. And in addition, there were some really important assets that were there. And Valley Health Partners recently opened up, which is an FQHC lookalike here in the Valley. And their primary location is at 17th and Chew. And then Hayes Elementary School also recently had opened up for the Allentown School District, which was created by the combination of two other schools that were closed and brought together in this new building. And then we have a number of nonprofits that are really critical to the work, and many of them have been part of the fellowship over the years. And so we have Ripple Community and Cohesion Network and Pembroke Family Answers, Community Bike Works, Community Services for Children. And so there were a lot of partnerships for us to build on within that neighborhood that we could all start to think collectively about how would we put the needs of Franklin Park above any of our individual organizations and think about what the success of that could be over time. I know that you have been in the nonprofit space for many years now as well. And although you are new to WDIY, you are not new to the work. And so I'm interested to hear your perspective on what you've seen in the different nonprofits you've been a part of and how this concept of everyone being a part of the solution and playing a role. How does that translate to what you've seen over time?
Yeah, so I think what I've found in the number of years that I've been involved with various community groups and nonprofits in the Valley is that they're stronger working together. And we really do have a tight-knit nonprofit community. That's not to say that there aren't any issues or times when, you know, one group wants to claim more than the other group or something like that. But for the most part, what I've seen is nonprofits working together for the greater good of the community and their clientele and the people they're working with. So one of the most recent examples that I've found to be really exciting is I'm involved in the Literacy Center as the current chair of that board. And we work with adults who are looking to learn English or get their GED and empower their future and, of course, make them better civic members of society, as we were talking about earlier. And what we need to do to help those adults, those students, reach their goals is remove obstacles. And the obstacles that are in their path are very much along the same lines. They are the same lines that you're talking about with vital conditions. So if it's access to housing or it's healthcare issues, if it's citizenship, immigration challenges, anything that can get in their way, transportation is another big one. Can they get to class? How are they getting home from work and then back to class? Any obstacle that we can help them remove, we do that by connecting them with other nonprofit partners. So there's nothing that we as one nonprofit can do on our own. We need the other nonprofits. And so that's one thing that I've seen in this community work really well. We all want to have success for the people that we're working with.
Absolutely. And when you start to go down that path, you realize that there's space for everyone, right? Everyone can contribute to that success over time.
Right.
And when you're looking at education solutions, they're not solely found in the education field. They are housing solutions and citizen solutions and food access solutions. And, you know, these things are so interconnected. And in order to really be able to change someone's opportunity or ability to succeed over time, you can't just address one piece. You have to look at the whole picture.
Right.
That's a great example.
Yep. And I think that's what really led me here is it's not so much that we're doing that community work person to person, but we are able to highlight and showcase things that are happening in our community, like the work that you're doing right now with Franklin Park. You know, our community needs to know that those programs are happening and that they can support that work. I just think it's really important to share what's happening throughout our community. So, you know, that's a big part of what WDIY has to play here.
Absolutely. Sharing the broader message.
Yes.
Connecting it back to the fact that health outcomes over time are largely driven by things that happen outside of the healthcare system. But access to healthcare is another important part of the equation, and making sure that the resources and services that health systems like Lehigh Valley Health Network have to offer are connected to all of this work that's happening in the community around housing and education and transportation is an important collaboration that is unique to Allentown and to the Lehigh Valley that will really help our success over time. Yes.
So where does the Poole Institute for Health go from here?
We're going to keep going. We know that this is generational work, and we're only 3 years in our first neighborhood. So we need to continue to build on the wins and successes that we've seen thus far, incorporate more of our partners and our fellows in the work, and expand the efforts that we have to include collaborations around food access and transportation and natural environment, and make sure that we're looking at the entire neighborhood and all of the factors that influence the opportunities or challenges over time. And in addition, I think we also need to connect that back into the healthcare system and to the broader services provided by Lehigh Valley Health Network, Valley Health Partners, and others across the valley. Healthcare is another important part of the equation, and making sure that people have access to the healthcare they need in a timely way and are able to afford that is another key piece to this, and really making sure that all of our efforts around housing and education are connected back to that as well. And so we look forward to continuing to learn and partner in Franklin Park think about how we bring that to additional neighborhoods in Allentown and across the Lehigh Valley, and then continue to look for opportunities to share that broader message and to learn from others, both locally and across the country, as we build a thriving future together.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like you've got your work cut out for you, but been doing this for a long time and studying this for a very long time.
Correct. As I finished up my degree in human development and family studies in Connecticut, I moved to the Lehigh Valley and started with Lehigh Valley Health Network in the Department of Community Health. And over that time, I have moved from looking at programs and services and how well we are creating those programs and services for families to thinking about the broader systems that we create and set up. And I actually was a fellow in cohort 2 of the Poole Fellowship for Health and have been influenced by that sort of thought process around collective impact and cross-sector partnership. And I've seen how collaboration can really lead to success. And I look forward to more of that as we go forward.
Great. And we're going to continue to talk about all of these vital conditions and topics that surround vital conditions on this show over the next few months. Well, with that, we are just about out of time. Thank you, Samantha, for all of the great information tonight. I wish you well in your new role. I know we'll be talking and getting to know each other as we continue to co-host this monthly program. If you would like to listen to this program again, please go to our website, wdiy.org, or the WDIY app, where HealthBeat is archived, or your favorite podcast or smart speaker platform. I am your host, Margaret McConnell. Have a great evening.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to the WDIY website or app to share or become a WDIY member.